It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Welcome back into another edition of the FFSN NFL Draft Preview. My name is Jeremy Betts, joined as always by my good buddy Andrew Wilbar to discuss all things 2024 NFL Draft. It is draft week. Everything's coming down to the wire, and we are here to break it all down for you in this final prediction for all 32 first-round picks. We're going to do a final live mock draft here for you on the show. Andrew, you excited?
I am. This is Christmas, three-day Christmas. One of the best weekends of the year, in my opinion, the best weekend of the year. I cannot wait. It's crazy to think that this is our last show. There's so much more content that I know both of us want to talk about that we just don't have the time for, but make sure you go and check out fansfirstsports.com for where you can check out all our work. We're going to have a lot coming out this week.
Absolutely, a ton coming out. And just to make everybody aware, this show, Andrew and I are going to be back every night of the draft. So Thursday, after everything wraps up, we're going to record a show breaking down the first round of the NFL draft. That'll be ready for you next morning, so Friday morning. Then Friday, rounds two and three, day two of the draft, we're going to do a breakdown after that. That'll be ready for you on Saturday morning. And then we will recap the Saturday rounds three through four events and even do a full recap afterwards on the regular time for this show, which I believe runs on Mondays. So you can check all that out. Be sure to tune in. Andrew and I will give our thoughts on the draft and how it plays out. But for now, Andrew, we're going to kind of go through all 32 picks here in the first round. We're going to alternate picks and we're going to make selections for each team just as our final predictions for what we think could go down in this edition of the NFL draft. So I'm hosting, you're the true analyst of the show. So let's go ahead and throw it to you. And I know you're not going to surprise anybody with your first overall pick, Andrew. At least I don't think so. But let's start with the Chicago Bears. They're on the clock. What you got?
Yeah, this is a mock draft for realism, not what I would do as GM necessarily. But the pick is going to be Caleb Williams. It's definite. I know I'm supposed to give analysis, but there's not a whole lot else to add than what we've already added for this one.
No.
Should be pretty straightforward on the draft night.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, this will be one of those ones where it's 10 minutes into the pick count clock, you know, the on the clock count. And you're like, why isn't this pick been announced yet? What's going on here? Just for the fanfare of it, I guess they can't do it too soon. So that's absolutely going to be the case. Caleb Williams is coming in, and Bears fans, they're ready for a guy to come in and take them to the promised land. That's going to be the expectation for Caleb Williams as the number one overall pick at quarterback in a special draft for quarterbacks. I'm number two, and this is a big pivot point already in the draft here. And I think with the latest rumors, the latest buzz around the Washington Commanders and pick number two, I think that they are going to eschew what has been traditionally thought of for them at pick number two and taking Jaden Daniels. I'm saying that they're going to go with Drake May at number two overall and surprise us all. I think that May is rising up their board based on rumors and notes of how things are going. And Drake May, to me, is easily the second best quarterback in this draft class. So I'm going to go with Drake May over Jaden Daniels for the Commanders at number two.
Well, that throws off number three, because I was going to have the Patriots taking J.J. McCarthy at three over Drake May. However, now that Jaden Daniels is on the board, I'm giving Jaden Daniels to New England. I don't think there's any way he slips past New England. Yeah. So I'm going to give Daniels there at three. Daniels is my highest rated quarterback in the draft. I love his game. He is so much more polished of a passer than a typical guy with his body type and his play style. I just love the way he plays football. His development after leaving Arizona State, going to LSU, transitioning, just learning how to run an entirely new offense. I know he had a lot of weapons, but he was smart, made smart decisions with the football, and he was smart not abusing his mobility. I think he's got a bright future at the next level.
I think so too. I think he does need to work on his ability to hang in there when the pressure comes. That would be my one issue with Jaden Daniels' game, is that he tends to bail too early, too quickly with pressure. I think he can improve that, but a lot of times his pressure's turned into sacks or scrambles, and there weren't a lot of targeted throws down the field based on the tape that I watched. But a high upside player, a lot of development left to go for him. I think that he can be a good NFL starter, and I don't think the Patriots would pass on him if he is available. Let's go to number four, the Arizona Cardinals, another pivot point in this draft. This could be the trade-up spot, but I'm going to say that the Arizona Cardinals aren't playing that game this year like they did last year, where they traded back and then traded back up to get the player that they wanted. I think the player that they want is Marvin Harrison Jr., and I think that he makes the most sense for them. I have them sticking put at four and picking Marvin Harrison Jr. And Andrew, that's 1, 2, 3, 4. No trades yet. Very interesting to see how this will go. But what do you think about the Cards taking Marvin Harrison Jr. instead of the trade haul that they might be offered?
To me, it's a no-brainer. The only way I'm moving back if I'm Arizona is if I already know I can move back up to five with the Chargers and get a little bit more compensation than what I had. Because obviously Minnesota is going to be looking to move up. We think they are. But if you're Arizona, don't miss out on maybe the best wide receiver prospect we've seen in the last decade come out. Don't risk losing that. I get Neighbors and Adunze are good. I don't understand the people that have any of those guys rated higher than Marvin Harrison, though. To me, Marvin Harrison Jr. is on his own tier. I know that's not a popular opinion. I believe he is on his own tier. Just his ability to separate at that size is absolutely incredible.
I 100% agree. All right, what are you doing at pick number five? Another trade back spot, potentially.
This one I am going to do the trade back. I know we're not necessarily doing compensation. Ideally, I think you're looking at potentially the two first picks, 11 and 23 from Minnesota, as well as a second round pick in next year's draft. Who knows if the price is the value for that pick's high enough, they may have to give up a future first. It's possible. We've seen hauls like that happen before. But I have Minnesota moving up to get JJ McCarthy. I believe Drake May is the guy they would want just because of the familiarity with Josh McCown. Yeah. But if it so comes to JJ McCarthy, I believe that he is worth the investment. And in that division, you do have to get your quarterback because it's going to be competitive. You have several young quarterbacks in that division. You got to get your guy at some point. McCarthy's got all the intangibles needed to be able to be taken over at some point middle of the year. I'd still ideally not like to see him starting week one, but guy who's got more upside than what most people realize.
Yeah. And these two NFC North teams, the Bears and the Vikings, have fantastic supporting casts in place for their quarterbacks if they are going to bring in quarterbacks, and we know the Bears are. If the Vikings end up able to trade up and land McCarthy, I think that it's a fantastic situation for him. It's a good offensive line. It's a great cast of weapons. Fantastic situation there. All right, the New York Giants at number six. Andrew, they are now out of the high-end quarterback sweepstakes. I don't see them going after any of the second tier quarterbacks here. So I'm going to go ahead and give them Malik Nabers, wide receiver out of LSU, the explosiveness, the speed. I know they brought in Jalen Hyatt last year and it might be a little redundant, but they're two different players as well. When you just look at the tape and the size that each one of these guys has, Malik Nabers is just more of a well-built, well-rounded machine. He can play out of the slot a little bit more. I like Malik Nabers to the Giants, getting some more speed and athleticism out wide there.
Yeah, I like Malik Nabers there. His fit there is great. At seven is where it starts to scare me, Jeremy, because the pick seven and eight seem to be no-brainers. And every time when we think there is a no-brainer pick in the NFL draft, we are wrong. So I'm concerned. This makes too much sense to put Joe Alt here. They have a need at left tackle. He would be the best player available on my board. I mean, I guess they could go wide receiver. I know they brought in Calvin Ridley. Wouldn't hurt to add another weapon. They could. They could go edge rusher too. Maybe Dallas Turner or Jared Verse is the pick here. But I'm the Titans, there's no way I'm passing up on Joe Alt, a guy who I think can be a standout tackle in year one and a guy who's got all pro potential down the line. He's so sound. At that size, being able to lower the pads like he does and make an impact on the run game is absolutely incredible. Got great footwork. Love him here at pick seven. I think he's great value.
I agree. I love Alt. I agree with the all pro potential and the Titans absolutely need that type of play up front. They've been the worst offensive line in football for two or three years now. And they need they need something up front. And Joe Alt is an incredible, I mean, he's a weapon at the offensive line or on the offensive line at either tackle spot, I think, but left tackle would be where I would put him early. All right, Andrew, I'm actually going to do a trade here. Okay. So the Falcons are going to trade back just two spots with the New York Jets. And the Jets are going to send a first, and they only have a third this year. They're going to send a third this year and another first next year to the Atlanta Falcons. Yep, another first next year to the Atlanta Falcons because they want their guy. They're going to go ahead and get Rome Odunze ahead of the Bears at 9, jumping to 8. Wow. So the New York Jets jump to number 8, pick up Rome Odunze before the Bears can grab him, and the Falcons slide down behind the Bears to 10. We'll see how that works out for them. What do you think of that?
I did not expect that. I was all this time, oh, I'm going to have Chicago trading out here and someone else goes up and gets Odunze there. I did not see that happening at all. Yep. So I'm going to revamp a little bit. I definitely didn't expect them to go up a first in the process. I'm going to have the Saints here moving up with the Chicago Bears here, moving up from 14 to 9 to get their choice of the remaining tackles. And they have needs at both right and left tackle with Ryan Ramczyk's injury and their other tackle just has not developed. I'm going to go up here. I'm looking at the best available tackles because I've got – my guy would be Tali Fuaga. That's what I'm going to give him, actually. I'm going to give him Talisa Fuaga here at pick 9. This way they'll have their pick of the tackles. Obviously, the Jets could be would have been a team that could have been in need of a tackle there, and you still have teams in the 11-12 range that could potentially pull the trigger. But in this instance, I'm going to go with Talisa Fuaga here on the board. And have we seen any defenders taken yet?
No defenders taken yet, Andrew, but that is about to change here with the Atlanta Falcons. They move back a couple spots, gain a bunch of picks, and they still get Dallas Turner, who I believe is their target in the first round here. I could see the Bears sticking and picking Dallas Turner, but you had the trade there, which makes a ton of sense for the Saints because they absolutely need a tackle in the worst way and go up and get one of the best, I think, is a great move for them. So with Dallas Turner still on the board, I'm going with the Falcons taking him at 10. They could have gotten him at 8. They get him at 10, and they gain some picks in the process. Okay, so that's the top 10 picks, Andrew. And let's move on to number 11 now, where the Los Angeles Chargers are picking their first of two in this first round after the trade with the Minnesota Vikings, who are the Chargers taking here after their trade back?
Well, I think an interesting thing about the Bears real quick before we move on is that it seems as if their schematics are changing a little bit. They were originally 3-4 before Eberflus. Now that Eberflus is in there, he's more of a 4-3 guy. And you look at after the Montez Sweat trade, just some of the personnel they brought in, it makes me feel as if they're looking more toward becoming a 4-3 front again. If that is the case, I could see them potentially taking Jared Verse over Dallas Turner because of the schematic fit. So that's just something to keep an eye on draft night. If Turner's off the board, maybe Odunze somehow goes earlier than what we think, and just the options aren't there for the Bears. I could see that. But for the Chargers, I'm going to give them J.C. Latham here. There's other guys. Everyone has their flavor of tackle. But I know that Jim Harbaugh really wanted him to come to Michigan when he was there. Obviously, Latham was a very big recruit at the time, and I think he would be a good fit for them. He is a plug-and-play right tackle, a mauler. He's really going to help their run game. I understand the Brock Bowers hype, but to me, if you're the Chargers and knowing how Jim Harbaugh wants to play, he wants to run the football. And you got to fix that offensive line. That right side of the line is not that good right now. Latham would go a long way to fixing that.
He sure would. Latham's been mocked to them pretty regularly, and I think that that is a fantastic pick for them. Just an absolute mauler. And Jim Harbaugh will love that for sure. Let's go on to pick 12. It's the Denver Broncos. This might be the toughest team to figure out in the entire draft, Andrew, how they're going to do things. So I'm going to make it easy for them here. And I'm going to have a trade. Again, we're trading another pick here. And it's a team maybe you're not seeing coming, Andrew. I have the Philadelphia Eagles moving up to 12 here with the Broncos. The Broncos get 22. They get a couple picks later on in the draft. And the Eagles move up here for Terrion Arnold. They jump the cornerback needy Raiders at 13 to land an Alabama guy. They like their SEC guys. I have them going Terrion Arnold over Quinyon Mitchell just because of the SEC connections there and what we've seen from Howie Roseman and company. But they need a corner in the worst way, and they get one of the best by moving up 10 spots here with the Broncos, and the Broncos move back, garner some more selections. The Broncos don't have a lot of picks in this draft, so this helps them out a lot and maybe puts them a little further back to where they can better land a quarterback if they want to.
I could see that trade for Denver. I think the Eagles could very well move up. I mean, they've moved up just about every draft in recent years. They like moving up the board. I don't know if they would make a move that big, but definitely it would fill a big need. They have to fix the secondary. For the Raiders at 13, I'm not giving them who I want to give them. I want to give them Quinyon Mitchell here or one of the top tackles still available, but I am going to give them Michael Penix Jr. here at 13.
Yep.
I'm starting to buy into the fact that the Raiders are all in. I said at the beginning of the process, I thought that Raiders would be a good fit for Penix. I still don't know that I would take him at 13, but if he's your guy and you're sold on him, you're not positive he's going to be there. Obviously, the quarterback position, you got to take your chance. So if you're looking at it from that perspective, I understand it. Not what I would do, but I do think the Raiders are all in on Michael Penix. And if they don't want to risk it, they're going to have to take him at 13.
Do you think the Raiders could be in play for Jaden Daniels if he does slide to the Patriots at 3, or do you think the Patriots just make that happen? Okay.
I think they could. I think they would be willing enough to sell the farm to go and get him.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. Unless I hear something about Schefter report now, I'm going to be shocked if May goes to, but we've seen crazier things happen before. So, you know, that's what makes the draft so exciting. It's you do not know. It's the greatest reality TV show ever created.
Yes, absolutely. 100%. All right. The Saints moved up with the Bears. So the Bears are picking 14th here. This is their second selection. And Andrew, I am going to give them Jared Verse here. I think it's a great pick. Like you mentioned, a great scheme fit for them. And Verse is climbing up draft boards. I think that he's going to be a top 15 or so pick. I think that that's a really good spot for him. And just an explosive, well-rounded player like him in Chicago, like you're mentioning. So I'm going to go with Jared Verse there. Any thoughts there before you move on to the Colts at 15?
The one interesting note on Chicago is that if they decide to go tackle, I'm getting the sense that they probably won't because they like Braxton Jones, and I like Braxton Jones coming out, but I do think it's an upgradable spot for them at left tackle. Olufashinu was Caleb Williams' left tackle in high school, so that's just an interesting tidbit of information just to keep in the back of your head on draft night. Don't be surprised if the Bears go that direction just because of the familiarity factor. But 15, Colts, this is where Brock Bowers goes, I think. I don't see Bowers falling this far. I don't see him falling past the Colts. I think if he falls by the Jets, I think that this is the next team for him to land. Makes sense. The Colts could afford to add corner. And, man, it would be hard for me to pass on Quinyon Mitchell. Like, I would really struggle with this if I was the Colts. And at this point, if Quinyon Mitchell's still on the board, there's got to be teams in that 20 to 25 range that are calling teams to try to move up for Mitchell because this would be quite a fall for him. But that's what happens when you have five quarterbacks going that early, more than what we originally expected. You're going to have good players fall. So I get Bowers here. If they're going to go all in, you might as well go in all in on Anthony Richardson fixing that offense.
And they love their athletic big players, and that is exactly what the tight end from Georgia, Brock Bowers, is. Just an incredible athlete and a guy that Anthony Richardson will love very quickly. Seattle Seahawks, another tough team to try to figure out here in this draft. So I'm actually going to give them some defensive help. I'm going to go with Byron Murphy, the defensive tackle out of Texas. I think he's a fantastic selection for them. Fits their scheme pretty well. Long, athletic, very strong, it fights double teams well, can rush the passer. He could go even earlier than this, Andrew, based on reports we're hearing. But Seattle settles for a player that helps him on the front, in the interior, on the defensive side of the ball. That leaves the Jaguars up next. Any thoughts on the Seattle selection before you move on to Jacksonville?
I could see Seattle being the team that looks to trade back as well. We know the Seahawks are very familiar with moving up and down the board. I think in this scenario, probably I would have, if Mitchell is somehow on the board, I think this is the spot some team moves up to get Quinyon Mitchell. But going on to 17 with the Jaguars, that's one I struggle with because, like, I understand that they need a wide receiver. They could use another guy here. but they could also use more help on the offensive line. Their tackles aren't secured long term. You've got some good tackles still sitting here with Fashanu and Mims. There's some tackle talent there. And even if you go to the defensive side of the ball, there's still areas that they could address. The secondary can't be written off. This is tough. It sounds a very BPA selection, but I'm going to give Quinion Mitchell here to the Jaguars.
Yeah.
I know they have talent in the secondary, but not all the talent they've drafted recently has fully developed, and they still don't have the greatest depth at cornerback. I think they could really this would put their secondary over the top with Mitchell. I understand getting another weapon for Trevor Lawrence. You can get one in round two. You can get one in round three. I go with the best player available here, Mitchell, absolute stud. He's my number one corner. He's been my number one corner for a while, and I'm excited to see where he lands. I think he's one of the safest bets in this draft on the defensive side of the ball.
I love him to Jacksonville. I think they would be thrilled if he were to land there and really shore up their secondary, give them some help on the back end there. The Bengals, they're sitting here sitting pretty, Andrew. They've got a defensive tackle they could take in Johnny Newton here. They've got a wide receiver in Brian Thomas Jr. that they could take here. But I'm actually going to go on the offensive line, and this is where Olufoshanu's fall ends. This is another big offensive tackle that they can kind of let him sit and learn a little bit. And he doesn't need to. He could be a day one starter for them if they want to, but they've got a couple tackles, big body tackles already. And I think Fashanu has some swing tackle ability early in his career if one of those guys were to fall or were to get hurt. And then he can be their starting tackle of the future. Let's go with Fashanu here. And then you've got the Rams here at 19, a very interesting team as well.
And this is going to be somewhat more of a best player available, but it's not a need at all. But when you look at, okay, Byron Murphy's off the board. There's no other defensive lineman you're going to take that early. They need help up there. They could use an edge rusher. Latsu would make a lot of sense here. I wouldn't rule that out. But I'm going to give them Troy Fa'utanu. They could use an extra piece on the line. I think Fa'utanu could go as high as 9 or 10 because we've heard multiple reports the league loves Troy Fa'utanu. It's just a matter of where do you see him. Some project him at tackle. Some project him at guard. Some say he can be a center. I personally like him. I think he has the highest upside at guard. Not that he can't play other positions, but I believe he has all-pro upside as a guard in the NFL. I believe that's where his highest upside is. Can he play left tackle? Yes. Do I think he could be a really, really good right tackle? Yes. Center? Maybe. It's just a little bit more unknown there. But I think he is a versatile piece that can play anywhere. You just have to have a definite spot where you're playing him. For me, I'm plugging and playing him at left guard day one. And hopefully becomes that Zach Martin type player that transitions to guard at the NFL and becomes an all-pro guy. I think he has that type of potential.
And the Rams value offensive lineman. Obviously, they've got an aging quarterback, an older quarterback. So keeping him upright is imperative. I like that pick for them. Andrew, we're both Pittsburgh Steelers fans. We do podcasts for the Steel Curtain Network. This is the Steelers selection at pick 20. There's a lot of prospects here that would be intriguing to them. You think of Brian Thomas Jr. still on the board at wide receiver. They could be interested in that. You've got some offensive linemen. All the centers are still there. Graham Barton, Jackson Powers Johnson, Zach Frazier. I know Frazier and Powers Johnson are kind of late first round, early second round, more or less, but Steelers have shown interest enough to where you could see them going in the first round. Amarius Mims is still on the board as well. And for that reason, since there's so many left, looking to trade back here in this scenario. And I like the Dallas Cowboys, who need offensive tackle help in the worst way, to come up and select Amarius Mims in the 20th spot. They're going to take Amarius Mims. The Steelers are going to drop back to pick 24 in the first round. So just four picks back, but pick up an extra third round pick, maybe something along those lines, to be able to move back and have a lot of ammunition on day two to work the board. So the Dallas Cowboys jump up into 20 and take Amarius Mims, a tackle that fits their profile and somebody that at a position that they desperately need. Any thoughts on that trade and pick before we move on to the Dolphins?
I wouldn't rule out Graham Barton here either. When you're looking at just the different, if you're looking at Dallas specifically, since they lost Tyler Biadasz, they do need a center as well. And also you look at, if you look at the other teams in that range, obviously Barton can play guard, but Tyler Smith can move out to tackle as well. So if they saw Barton as a guard, you could always move Tyler Smith out to tackle and play him at guard. I like Smith at tackle a guard personally. I know he can play tackle. So I like the pick. I think that would make a lot of sense for them. The question is, can he move over to the left side? Because that's going to be a big question for him. That's ideally where you would be putting him. For the Dolphins at 21, this is where it's a struggle, Jeremy, because they need interior line help. They also could use another edge rusher. And I've heard they really like Liatu Latu. I was going to mock them there, but I was assuming that for some reason Graham Barton would be off the board at 20.
But
he's not. So I'm going to give them Graham Barton here. I think that makes a lot of sense for what they need. As much as I want is to buy into the rumors that they love these edge rushers like Latu, you have to protect Tua Tagovailoa. And I've got to imagine the Dolphins know this. So I'm going to give him to the Minnesota Vikings. Graham Barton, I think, is an excellent pick here at this point. Play him, plug and play him at guard, play him at center, either one. I like him better as guard again, but at center, he has played that in the past, and a lot of teams think he's going to move back to that. So I'm going to give Graham Barton to the Minnesota Vikings here, a big piece for that offensive line. Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, no problem. Two M teams. That's okay. And I like this pick for the Dolphins as well. I think he's a great selection for them. The Steelers might be regretting their choice at this point. I don't know. There's still some good players on the board though. So the Eagles had traded up with the Denver Broncos. The Denver Broncos are now at the 22nd spot here, and I have them taking Bo Nix here, Andrew, and that makes six quarterbacks in the first round of this draft. I don't like it, but I'm going to do it because I think the Broncos are desperate for a quarterback. They miss out on the top four guys, so they're gonna trade back a little bit, but still land their guy. Bo Nix goes to the Broncos.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And when you think about Denver, ideally, you want it to be a second-round pick, but they don't have a second-round pick, so they've got to acquire one. I would be interested to see if they do trade back. Do they trade up with their other ammo into the second or late first? Do they trade back a second time? Or if they don't take a quarterback with this pick, who do they take? And I guess that would come down to what defensive back is there, or maybe even offensive lineman, because Garrett Bowles, he's not secured long-term with them either. Not sure how strong that relationship is right now. But Bo Nix, it wouldn't shock me if he goes this high. I have a day two grade on him. I have a third round grade on him.
Same.
But if he's Sean Payton's guy, I'll trust Sean Payton with it. But we'll see how sold they are on him. I really don't know how much of an upgrade he'll end up being immediately from Jarrett Stidham. But going on here, we are at pick, 23 now, Jeremy?
23 is the LA Chargers again.
23 is the Chargers again. That's correct.
Yep.
And remind me, because I forgot to crust off, is Brian Thomas still there?
He is. He is still there.
I'm going to go with Brian Thomas here.
Yeah.
Pair him up on the outside with Quentin Johnston. You got two beasts on the outside physically.
Yeah. Oh, man. Fantastic pick for them. I think they'd be thrilled if he is still there. And now we get to the Steelers after having traded back. And all three of the players that were on the board that I mentioned that they could be interested in are now gone. So, Andrew, I actually have them going corner here. They're going to take Cooper DeJean from Iowa, a versatile chess piece on the back end of the defense. I think they land their corner early here and are able to, with some of the ammunition that they gained from the pick with the Dallas Cowboys, they're going to be able to address center and tackle in the second round and make that work. But they get a high upside corner with he can play safety, he can play in the slot. I really like Cooper DeJean. I think he's kind of a mini Minka Fitzpatrick, in my opinion. They profile similarly. DeJean's athletic traits are actually even better, as the testing would indicate, than Minka Fitzpatrick's were coming out of college. So we'll see how the Steelers use him, but I think he can play outside corner in the NFL, and I think that's where the Steelers would view him to start, at least. Any thoughts on that one at 24 before we go to the Packers at 25?
As a Steelers fan, I would not like the move just because I'm not the biggest DeJean fan. I like him in certain systems, but I think he's really best as a zone guy. I just do not see him playing well physically up close to the line. He's a bigger body, but he doesn't know how to use his body well, be able to get the inside track on receivers just because he's inexperienced in that facet. He is a ball hawk, though. I like him moving to safety. He's my top rated safety in this draft. I kind of hurt that one because I took Graham Barton away from you, so you didn't have that as an option there. And obviously, okay. Pautani, I kind of took a lot of the options away. And of course, with the Cowboys moving up for Amarius Mims, so I understand the philosophy behind it. I still would have probably either tried to move back or go for a different offensive lineman, but it's definitely a possibility. The Steelers have shown interest in him, so I definitely wouldn't rule it out. And here at pick 25 for the Packers, they look good on offense for the most part. Like, they could potentially add a piece to the offensive line, but I think the offense is fine. This would be a killer for them if DeJean's not on the board, because they need help at safety. And there's no other safety that I would take this high. I'm just looking at my board now, because like, that's been like a stalwart in my mock drafts. Oh, Cooper DeJean to the Packers. But this is good for me, because I need to go through this exercise to just see where everything else lands. I'm gonna go with a little surprise pick here, but to add some depth to the defensive line, I'm gonna give them Braden Fisk, defensive lineman from Florida State. I'm going to go with a little surprise there. This is partially just based upon my own draft board, because I don't have like any significant rumors on the Packers. Oh, they really love this prospect, this defensive lineman. I could see Darius Robinson as a fit here. And honestly, I think this would be a great fit for a guy like Darius Robinson, where he can play with his hand in the dirt. And he's gained a lot of late first round buzz again. Kind of died off for a while now. It's coming back. So, but I'm going to give them with Braden Fisk, a guy who I think is a little bit more of a safe pick, a guy who's just, he's going to come in. He's got a great motor, and he tested phenomenally at the combine. So he's got high upside as well. Imagine TJ Watt as a 300-pound defensive tackle, and that's the heart you're getting with this guy. I'm not saying you get the same production, but this guy's got the heart and the will and the drive. I'll take a chance on a guy like that.
I agree. A good pick there. It could be considered a reach, but hey, they probably wouldn't get him in the second round. So that's something to consider as well. And if they want some depth on the defensive tackle side, along the defensive line, I think that's a great pick for them. So 26, the Buccaneers, Andrew, they need edge help. They need defensive line help. So I'm going to give them Laiatu here. I think a lot of teams would have him as the best pure pass rusher in this draft. And so I think it's the injury concerns that knock him down the board a little bit, but I still have him going in the first round, and the Buccaneers seem to be a good spot for him there. I would consider Darius Robinson here as well to the Buccaneers, but I think that they're going to go with the more pure edge rusher, somebody who can get after the quarterback quickly and has a pass rush skill set like I haven't seen out of a player in recent memory. So just a high upside guy. Hopefully the injuries do not limit his ability or his career, because he could be a slam dunk pick for the Buccaneers here at 26. You've got the Cardinals at 27. Where are you going?
I think I could really go anywhere, and it really wouldn't be a bad pick for Arizona regardless, just because of where they're at as a team. And I expect Arizona at some point to make some sort of move in the draft, whether it be up or down. But they need a lot of help in the secondary, and I'm not the biggest fan of Nate Wiggins, but I'm going to give Wiggins to them here at pick 27. A slighter frame guy. He's in the 40s on my board, but I do like his upside. While I believe he's one of the more boomer bust prospects in the secondary, he makes a lot of sense for what Arizona needs here. Arizona needs everything, but I think he's a guy who can come in immediately. He's got to bulk up a little bit. Hopefully he adds some more weight before training camp. But he's a guy that's going to compete on the outside just because of the strong need that Arizona has right there. If they came out of the first round with Marvin Harrison Jr. and Wiggins, I think a lot of teams would be excited. Plus, they can match up together in practice now. They'll have some feisty battles, I'm sure.
Yeah, for sure. I like that actually a lot for the Cardinals. They could go any number of directions. They got their wide receiver. Go ahead and get that cover, man. I think that's a great idea. Buffalo Bills traded away Stephon Diggs. All the talk is at wide receiver. I'm going to go wide receiver. I'm going to give him A.D. Mitchell out of Texas. Big play, big body, vertical weapon, some decent route running ability there, and I think something he can improve on. I thought about Andrew giving him Xavier Worthy here because of what they've watched with the Chiefs and Tyreek Hill earlier on in Josh Allen's career and what that did for Mahomes. But I just think the all-round receiver who can win the jump ball, who can give them an element that they don't have with Dalton Kincaid as at tight end slash slot receiver. Who did they bring in off in free agency, Andrew? Curtis Samuel, wide receiver, kind of a shiftier weapon. You've got Shakir there still, another shifty slot guy. They need the big bodied receiver on the outside. I think they go with Adee Mitchell here.
Yeah, I love the fit there. I'm just because I have Adee Mitchell lower than a couple other receivers like Worthy and Leggett doesn't mean I don't like his game at all. There were a few times when the ball wasn't thrown his direction. There's a little bit of lack of effort, which I would say is probably the only red flag I would have on him. But when he is invested into the game, I mean, he is a beast going up for those 50-50 balls. He never drops a pass. I really like that about his game, and he's got wheels, man. I didn't expect him to run quite as fast as he did in the 40. I thought he could break 4.4, but in a 4.34 is pretty impressive, his size. With the Lions here at 29, I'm going to give them a guy who grew up in Detroit. I'm going to give them Darius Robinson here. I don't like as much because they would, if the Lions draft him, more than likely they're playing him as a stand-up edge rusher, and I don't like that. But I can see the fit. He fits Dan Campbell's philosophy, what he's looking for. I just don't – if Darius Robinson is going to work in the NFL, he needs to put on more weight and go back to the five tech, in my opinion. I don't like him as an edge rusher. But put him across from Aiden Hutchinson, at least there's not going to be a lot of pressure on him because Hutchinson's going to garner all the attention. So from that perspective, I do like it. The Lions need more difference makers up front. Robinson definitely has that potential.
Yeah, Darius Robinson has that first round upside. I think he does go in the first round. He was invited to the NFL draft, Andrew, to sit in the green room. So hopefully he does go in the first round. That would be a long wait for him. If he does not, I think that the Lions are a great spot for him. The Ravens are intriguing, Andrew. What would you say if you had to choose between an edge rusher or help on the offensive line, what would you do in Baltimore?
I would probably go offensive line help. And part of that is just because, like, I have Chop Robinson's 26 on my board. And I think there's a legitimate shot he could go top 20 just because of the buzz we're hearing. I think there could be a surprise team that comes up in there to get an edge rusher and they just bite on the upside. I think he's a safe first round selection, but just how we did it in this mock and just the way the board fell, you know, someone's going to fall more than what we think they do. I don't think the Ravens do the same thing because this is like a Dafe Away all over again. And Away's had his moments, but he's not been great for the Ravens. They need offensive line help, especially on the right side of the line.
I agree.
So just looking at the guys there, I'm going to this is interesting because there's a lot of different tackles that are kind of all bunched together here at the end of the first. I'm going to give them Jordan Morgan from Arizona. A guy who played left in college. I think he moves to the right side or even inside the guard. I think he'd make a fantastic guard at the NFL level. He didn't play fully healthy last year. I didn't really like his tape, but that was because he still was not fully healthy recovering from an injury he suffered back in 2022. So he's a guy in the late first. I would rule out Roger Rosengarten sneaking into the first. The one other spot that I think could be addressed here would be the corner position. And if you know the Ravens and the Alabama connection, if there's a spot Kool-Aid McKinstry could still sneak into the first, I think the Ravens are that team that could be in play there. So he was the other guy considered. But in this situation, I'm going to give him Jordan Morgan.
Yeah, I like Morgan there. I think he's more versatile than the guy I was going to give them, Tyler Guyton, who is really just a tackle. You know, I don't see him moving inside the guard, but I think and he's more developmental as well. So I like Morgan there to them. So I'll do the San Francisco 49ers then. And Johnny Newton's still on the board, right? We haven't taken Johnny Newton off the board.
Right.
Okay, so I'm going to go with Johnny Newton here to San Francisco. They love to add to the defensive line. He's a kind of a quick win pass rusher on the interior. I like him in that situation, especially surrounded by some of the more big body type players. I think he's kind of their Javon Kinlaw replacement, if you will, at this point in the draft. So I'm going to give him Johnny Newton at 31. And then Andrew, just go ahead and round us out with the Chiefs at 32. Are they picking at 32? You got anybody trading back into the first round to get somebody or are the Chiefs making a selection here?
If Xavier Worthy's there at 32 and the Chiefs trade back, I will consider retiring from doing draft work. Maybe I shouldn't say that, but
don't do that.
That would baffle me. I've got to go Xavier Worthy here. It's, it's not that I think Worthy's necessarily a can't miss prospect. There's definitely some risk here, but when you're talking about just the perfect landing spot for him, talk about the perfect spot. I know we said that about Sky Moore too, but he just makes too much sense here. I think he's gone by this point. In my last mock draft, I had the Chiefs moving up to 24 to get Xavier Worthy. But it's hard finding a fit for a guy like this. I mean, did the Dolphins pull the trigger on a guy like this? No one's projecting that, but it would just make sense for their system. And there's not a whole lot of ideal landing spots, because when you're looking about first-round wide receivers, you're looking with guys with prototype size on the outside that can line up in that X position. And Xavier Worthy, we don't know if he can be that or not. It's so difficult, because I think he goes higher than this, but it's hard to find a fit for him. It's kind of like Brock Bowers at the beginning of the first. The second half of the first, Xavier Worthy's that player. It's like, where do we fit this guy in? He's just such a wild card. It's hard to tell how you're gonna use him. He's an offensive weapon, but you got to have a spot in your offensive system for a guy like this. Kansas City has that spot, regardless of whether Marquise Brown is there long term or not. Xavier Worthy's gonna come in, and if Rashee Rice is suspended, I know he's not the same play style as Rice, but he's gonna get looks early on.
Yeah, I think they could look at Worthy. I think they could look at the other Xavier receiver here as well, Xavier Leggett. I think he'd be a great fit for them. So, yeah, hey, that does it, Andrew. That's our 32-pick first-round mock draft. Final predictions there for us in this alternate. Now, you can check out our individual mock drafts that are coming out right before the draft. So mine's going to come out probably the day before the draft. Andrew's will come out the morning of draft day, Thursday, April 25th. The first round starts on April 25th at 8 p.m. Eastern time, and then the day two action starts at 7 p.m. on Friday the 26th, and then Saturday the 27th, Andrew, it starts at noon on Saturday. It is going to be crazy. That last day is crazy. You get monkeys making picks and everything. It's crazy. So we'll see how it plays out. But Andrew, any final thoughts before we head out of here and talk to people after the draft?
Yeah, just keep an eye out on fansfirstsports.com. We've got so much coming out with the final big board that's coming out this week. We're going to be assembling that. We've got player breakdowns. We've got biggest sleepers. We talked about sleepers last week. A lot of the ones we talked about, as well as a couple others, will be mentioned in the sleepers articles, which should come out between now, at the time you're listening to this, and Thursday. So just keep an eye out. Fansfirstsports.com, your one-stop shop for all things NFL. And we've got so much coming out. Obviously, the mock drafts will – we'll have to review how we did with that after the draft. And there's a lot of other stuff we can get into the nitpicky. But at the end of the day, Jeremy, in the process, my mind is just so full of everything that is going on with the draft. It's like I'm just referring back to my notes for everything, because I can't remember everything off the top of my head. So just check out the work that we put out for the website. I know that you will come away, you know, excited about the content, and be willing to share it with other people as well. Share it on social media with others. Send us a link showing us that you shared it. We'll give you a shout out on the show next week. You know, just little things like that. And obviously, stay tuned to all of this. We'll have full draft coverage after each night. So it's going to be fun. Best week of the year. And I cannot wait for it.
It's going to be a blast. But that's going to do it for us here on this edition of the FFSN NFL Draft Preview. We'll talk to you next time. See you later.